Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I'm your host, Thais Gibson, and I create regular podcast episodes to teach you about your relationships, attachment style, and the subconscious mind. My goal of this podcast is to give you tools and awareness you need to thrive in your relationships, feel deeply connected, and find harmony and fulfillment in your relationships and personal life. So I hope you tune in here with me each and every week. I want to talk to you a little bit about how to know if the anxious, preoccupied attachment style is ready for love. So the way I want to phrase this, because I think it's fair to say that most anxious, preoccupied individuals definitely feel ready for love. We're going to say, like, what are some signposts that the anxious, preoccupied individual is ready for a healthy, thriving relationship? And what patterns to look for. And if you're the anxious, preoccupied individual watching this, you can take a look at these seven core things that I'm going to go through and sort of look for what you can work on the most as an individual. So like, oh, where am I lacking out of these seven things? Where do I have the most work to do? And then use some strategies to work through these challenges. Okay. How can you know if the anxious, preoccupied individual is ready for love? Okay. And we'll think of it this way, like the anxious, preoccupied individual can have really strong feelings, but sometimes they can get into relationships out of like a rebound or out of not wanting to be alone or out of like trying to not deal with the feelings that are unprocessed of feeling lonely from a past relationship, these sorts of things. So the number one thing we will always be looking for, irrespective of any attachment style, is this person willing to do the work? Are they open to do the work around the situation or like whatever it is that's causing toxicity or challenges in relationships? Because if you have one person in a relationship that's willing to grow, have the tough conversations, communicate, look at their own patterns, observe their own programs and fears, work through them, break through them, reprogram them, then you're going to have like a great chance at a thriving relationship. But if only one person is willing, it's going to be really tough on that person because you're going to keep feeling like you're coming up to a wall and hitting the wall over and over again. And if one person takes accountability and the other person doesn't, ultimately there's going to be an imbalance. Now, it's okay if one person moves more slowly or if one person dives in directly and the other person sort of just learns by example, but they're still willing to have the tough conversations. They're still willing to open the dialogue about things and observe themselves and take accountability and responsibility for their flaws and integrate those things. That's okay. But if we have one person who's unwilling to do the work and they're just in the cycle of only blaming, only seeing the other person's faults, not acknowledging their own or any sort of misgivings that exist or occur within the relationship dynamic, it makes it very difficult. So that's always going to be the number one thing. Number two, okay, so these are the signs you can start to see if the anxious preoccupied is evolving and if they are, you know, starting to really move along the trajectory for a healthy relationship. Number two, you will see that they begin to identify and meet some of their own needs. And this is so important because that is the essence, which will bring us to another piece later on, but this is the essence of like what starts self-soothing. Self-soothing is one individual being able to look at a situation when triggered, when upset, and actually be with themselves in their emotions, okay, and sit with themselves. And one thing that's so important, just on a side note here, is that if you are feeling like emotional as the anxious, preoccupied individual, if you're feeling like all this emotion coming up, anxiety, worry, disconnection, sadness, despair, whatever emotions you're feeling, if you feel these things, and then you just try to distract or run away from them. So maybe you dive into like binge watching a TV show. Maybe you drink wine or maybe you try to like be around people immediately and get really busy or whatever it is. If this is how you're coping, I want you to imagine that somebody else treats you like that. You have a friend that's like, hey, you know, let's say you're having a tough day or a friend comes to you, let's say, and they're like, hey, I'm having a hard day. Can I just come over and spend some time? I could really use a friend. And they come over and you're like, I'm not going to talk to you. You can sit here, but I'm going to watch television and I'm going to just zone out and ignore you the entire time. Or, hey, yeah, I'll listen to your problems, but I need some wine first to be able to deal with you. Like these things that other people would do to us, it would be excruciatingly painful to receive that kind of treatment from another person that we care for, that we rely on, that we want connection with. And so if you are the anxious, preoccupied person, you want to be mindful that you're not doing that in your relationship to yourself, because our relationship to ourselves is a real thing. And if we wear that down and wear that down and we don't respect ourselves or show up or be present, any act of trying to escape your emotions instead of be present with them and witness them and inquire about them, all of that is not only not self-soothing, but it's also like going to just create distrust and disconnection long-term from ourselves, which means you're likely to get like looped into that cycle of seeking it more externally because you're so out of relationship to yourself internally. So this brings us to our third point, which is not only will you begin identifying and meeting your needs, but you'll begin to self-soothe. And what that really requires is I want you to imagine, again, you have a friend who comes over. How would you show up as a good friend? Because you guys are usually really fantastic at this. How would you show up as a good friend? You would sit down and you'd be like, hey, what are you feeling? What's going on inside of you? Like, why are you upset? And then reach out to me. What's happening? What can I do? What do you need? You know, what do you want to talk about? And you would be present and you would ask questions and you would respond and you would listen to their feelings and you would hold space. And these are the ingredients that are required when you want to be in relationship to yourself and self-soothe with yourself, is be present with your feelings, allow yourself to feel them, and then use them as the feedback mechanisms they are to go inwards and ask yourself questions, inquire, okay, what do I need right now? What painful stories have I been telling myself? And are they really valid? You know, have I been running some story that I'm not good enough or nobody's ever going to love me? And can I really even know that? Or am I just investing in this old fear and rerunning that dialogue with myself on autopilot? What do I need right now? How can I meet that need for myself? Okay. So number two and three are these like really important characteristics of self-soothing. Once you learn how to self-soothe, you're already like 25% of the way to becoming more secure, because this is a huge part of being a securely attached person that you're missing, okay? So when you pattern this in and you make this habitual and consistent, you're reprogramming that entire paradigm for yourself at the subconscious level, and that's part of reprogramming your attachment style. Number four, you start to have balance in all seven areas of your life. You don't just cut off, you know, one area or just dive really far into the relationship and get codependent and enmeshed and then forget about the other areas of your life and not really care about your work or your career or spend all your money on the person in the relationship or, you know, ignore family members or friends. You don't lose that balance. You keep that balance across all seven areas of your life, and you won't be perfect at it, and nobody ever will be, but you'll be mindful about it. You won't feel like anything is like, you know, just thrown caution to the wind and forgotten about. There won't be these like fragmented parts of your life, you know, being excluded, if that makes sense. Okay. So number five, won't substitute their needs for your boundaries when triggered. Okay. So this is like one of the like negative pieces of feedback I always hear about anxious preoccupied, and it's in pure innocence. But one of the like flaws of how you can show up, and just to be like really transparent, like everybody has flaws with how they show up irrespective of their attachment style, but one of the like common criticisms that the anxious preoccupied gets, and there's some validity to it, but it won't always be this way, and again, it's rooted in innocence and just fear. But sometimes when you feel really afraid and when you feel really anxious and uncomfortable, you will forget that other people have boundaries, and you'll accidentally violate those boundaries by like reaching out and maybe overstepping by accident. And not always, but at times. And you won't see and hear other people and their boundaries because you're consumed with your own emotionality. Now, the DA has versions of that. The FA has versions of that. Secure individuals have versions of that. Everybody has stuff. But it's something that you'll start to shift, because what you'll see is you become able to recognize somebody else's boundaries. And then because you're self-soothing, work through your own fears. And even though you're consumed with emotion, when you're triggered, work through some of those things, meet some of your own needs, and then you won't be feeling at a subconscious level like that person is the only source of alleviating the pain, because you start to build this trust within yourself as you repetitively do show up for yourself over time. Number six, the emotional dumping will minimize. This is a really powerful one. So often, anxious preoccupied want to get seen, heard, understood, and sometimes you put emotions out there, and you can be quite adept and good at being vulnerable with your emotions and the expression of them, but sometimes you don't follow it up with a clear plan. And oftentimes people don't know what to do with it, especially people with more of an avoidant attachment style. They'll be like, okay, you say that like you're upset with me, but like, I don't know what to do. And especially dismissive avoidance, when they don't feel clarity, they shut down and they pull away and they protect because they don't want to feel incapable or like something's wrong with them, that they don't get it and things like that. So usually what we'll see is that a really important pattern is, instead of going, hey, like when you didn't call back, I'm like, it hurt me so much. You really hurt me. Instead of doing that, it'll be like, hey, you know, when you don't call back, I interpret it as you not caring about me. And what I really need is for you to try your best to remember, or at least send a text if you can't call back or if you change your mind. I need some communication and transparency so I can feel like there's clarity around what's happening, and then it's easier for me to not personalize. And so there will be this like not blaming feeling dumping, right? But like, this is how I interpret the situation. This is what it's like for me in my reality. I would love your support in this. Here's what I need. Here's what you can do. Let me make a clear action plan and tell you what that looks like. And by doing that, you have the greatest outcome of you being seen, heard, understood, and your needs getting met. And last but not least, this sort of goes with the previous one, but you'll begin to communicate more clearly. So a huge piece for anxious preoccupied is, don't just communicate a need once and then expect that it'll always be met. Communicate it once with the clear instruction of how to meet it, with a strategy to support it, with exactly what it looks like, paint the picture. And then if somebody forgets, because they will, human beings are going to forget sometimes, see it through, advocate for your needs, show up, be consistent, communicate often. Hey, remember we talked about this, will you please try to do this and this, and bring it to the table fearlessly and knowing that you deserve to have your needs seen, heard, met. And don't do it with expectation, but intention. My intention is to advocate, to show up for my needs. If somebody's not available, if they make a mistake, if they forget, I can remind them. And if they're just not available because they're having a tough week, or they're going through a big life transformation, or they're overwhelmed in their own lives right now, oh, that's fine. I can just meet the need for myself. And here's a strategy for how to do it. And I trust myself to be able to do so. So these are all really good signs that you're ready for a thriving relationship. Even if you just have like signposts of these, like these things are popping up, good. Like, keep building momentum around them. And this is going to help to become more secure over time. So I hope this makes sense. We've got a ton of amazing exercises in the Advanced Anxious Attachment Style course, with workbooks and reprogramming and all these fantastic things that really speed up the process. That would always be very useful. So I have some really exciting news, and it's that integrated attachment theory training is back. In other words, you can be trained to become a relationship coach certified in integrated attachment theory in literally 60 days. So who's this for? Well, of course, this is for any individual who wants to make an impact and really be of service to others while also obtaining freedom and flexibility and abundance in their lives. And this is also for anybody who's already a counselor, a therapist, a coach, and just really wants to expand their toolkit. We've had so many people enter into the Integrated Attachment Theory program because they're just looking to obtain a certain degree of mastery in terms of understanding their own attachment patterns, and also the attachment patterns of maybe their children or partner or other loved ones in their lives, so they can really support those people and understand them more deeply. Now, please keep in mind that the last two times we ran this program, we filled up very fast. In fact, we oversold the programs and sold up completely. So if you're interested, click the link below to learn more and dive in with me. And I'd love to see you on the other side before seats run out.